And I want to speak about that this morning. And I've given this morning's brief message the title, It's His Party. It's His Party. And our text is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And if you'll turn there real quickly, Philippians 2, and we're looking at verses 5 through 11. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. You know, this week I was thinking about suffering, and I was thinking about my brothers and sisters, my family, my friends, and those who are going through things. And I was asking myself the question, Lord, how is it that you can even take it? You know, when somebody that I love is suffering, I want to do everything in my power to resolve that, to ease that. There was a picture that our daughter gave us or circulated back to us that we came across of our grandson Major having surgery, what was it, 5 years ago? About 5 years ago or so. And he had to have this surgery so that he could breathe. And, you know, this little guy being on the operating table and having all these wires hooked up to him and all these things, it was just excruciating. And when he came out of surgery and he's in his mother's arms and then in his grandma's arms and I took him in my arms, we just didn't want to see him suffer any longer. He had to have the surgery because he was having a difficult time breathing at night. It was just awful. When he got in the bed with us, He would stop breathing for a while, then gasp. And I just literally couldn't stay in the bed. I had to get up and get out of the bed and go someplace. I couldn't handle it. Bless Laverne's heart. She stayed there just to make sure he kept breathing. I couldn't take it. I had to get up. And I'm thinking, you know, when you see somebody who's in pain, I'm looking at my wife and I see her in pain in the morning and what she has to do to manage the pain. And I'm, Lord, how can you even take it? How can you stand it? I know you love her. I know you do. I mean, my heart breaks seeing this. How can your heart not break? What is going on? Why don't you take it away? And you know what? I don't have an answer. And he didn't say, this is why. But you know what he told me, what he reminded me in this passage? That he didn't even exempt himself from suffering. Whatever the reason, he didn't give himself a pass. He didn't give his son a pass. What does it say? It says that he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. One day when I see him, I will say, Lord, come on, Dish, tell us what the deal is. Why is it so? But in the meantime, I can be convinced that it's not because he doesn't love us. And it's not because he decided to take an easy way for Jesus and let us go the long and difficult way. He went through it himself for us. And so because of that, there's a party. The scripture says because Jesus suffered and because he gave his life And because he took on the form of a servant, it says, a day is coming when every knee is going to bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and a party will ensue. Revelation 5 tells us this, and you don't have to turn there. It's 5, 9 through 14. It says, in heaven, they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Amen. Then I looked and I heard many voices, the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Then I heard every creature in heaven and every creature on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that's in them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures just kept saying amen. I believe those four living creatures are Baptists. And the elders fell down and worshiped, it said. Let me tell you, in essence, at the heart of it, being a Christian is a celebration of a phenomenally, generously, shockingly selfless, selfless friend. That's what it is. It's a celebration of one who is worthy of celebrating. And this present time that we're living in, the lives that we have, the lives that we're living here on earth, this time in history, this is a prelude to a party in his honor. That's what this is. And the party is going to be held in a venue that is literally out of this world. And it's a party that will last forever. And the banner over the door of this party, the banner over the door of this celebration reads, Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who was slain, risen from the dead, the worthy one. And everybody's invited. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Everybody is invited, but an RSVP is required. There will be no walk-up entrance. You got to take the RS. You got to respond to the RSVP here in this life. Your name must appear in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't need no ticket. You don't need no hand stamp. But your name must appear in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it gets there by saying yes to Jesus now. Saying, yes, I accept your payment for my sins. The stuff that was written there in Philippians about you becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross, you did that for me, and I say yes to that gift. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So if you're taking notes, the main idea is this. It's the Lord's party. It's the Lord's party, and our job is to help pass out the invitations. That's our job, is to pass out the invitations. And you know, I get it. Brothers and sisters, I get it. This month is not going to be the most dynamic of months because we're talking about being privileged partners in inviting other people to be in the kingdom. And we feel some kind of way about that a little bit. We're not as excited about that. We look at our own insecurities, our own inabilities, and I get it. I get it. I understand it. We're all dealing with life issues. We're dealing with work issues. We're dealing with family issues. We're dealing with job issues. We're dealing with health issues. And I know if some of you, if we were honest, some of you may be thinking, you know, Pastor, if I'm honest, I don't have a whole lot of time or emotional energy to be worried about passing out invitations. Truth be told. I hear you. It says it. Not arguing with you. I agree. But truthfully, the bandwidth just isn't there. The time just isn't there. And by the time I leave this morning, it won't be in my head. I may think about it until dinner. But Monday morning comes, and Monday morning's urgencies push me out the door, and what I got to do takes over. And I may think about it at lunchtime, but then somebody comes and asks me a question, and it's gone again. I understand. I get it. So what is the incentive for passing out invitations? What can generate more excitement and less obligation? One of them is this. First, just one of the ways to mitigate anxiety, one of the ways to lessen anxiety and stress over the daily matters that we have to deal with is to focus on the bigger picture. That's one of the ways to lessen some of the stress, is to realize this ain't all there is. And to focus on the bigger picture. As my wife said at Bible study last week, my life is not all about me. And thank God, because we just cannibalize ourselves. You know, there's only so much of us that we can feed on of ourselves. And one of the ways that God has blessed us to be able to, for self-care, let's use that. One of the ways God has blessed us with self-care is to care for others. And one of the ways to care for others is to be thinking about how God might want to use me to influence that person to Christ. Second, when it comes to deepening our relationship with the Lord, this idea, this passing out, it's passing out invitation. It's an asset. It's an asset. It's what Jesus is up to. It's what God is up to on the earth. It's a fellowship opportunity. It's a chance to be a part of what he's doing, to work alongside of him. Remember last week, one of the practical items I gave you was to subscribe. Remember I shared that? I said subscribe. And ask God to deliver what you need. Ask him to deliver what you need to partner with him in planning his forever party. Ask him to deliver it. Ask him to deliver it and install it in my life so that I'm not trying to force this or make this happen. And God has given each one of us, brothers and sisters, a special way to do that. In our own words, it's not going to be like Don. He's not asking you to get up on a roof. It's not going to be like Pastor Dan. It's not going to be like Sister Grace or Brother Bill or Brother Jim or Brother Michael or anybody else in here. It's not going to be like Robin. It's not going to be like Keisha. It's not going to be like Gene and Dave. Just ask him, what does that look like? For me, he's given each one of us a special way to do that in our own words, our own through our own deeds, and maybe through our prayers and service. But God is infinitely creative. There isn't a one-size-fits-all pattern for passing out the invitations. So again, don't use somebody else's template and say, that's how it's got to be for me. That is not how it's got to be for you. God made you a certain way with certain gifts, certain skills, certain abilities, certain inclinations, a certain personality, and he wants to use who you are. He doesn't want you to step outside of who you are. He wants to use who you are and to bless who you are and to use who you are to influence others for Christ. So don't get tunnel vision about what that means. So he's given us special ways and spirit-generated effects, as I call them. They're spirit-generated effects. It's not flesh-generated effects. Spirit-generated effects. As our relationship with him becomes more vibrant and more precious, he brings forth effects from himself that we didn't even see coming. And he is able to do that. This Tuesday, I have an appointment with a vibrant Christian who lights up when she talks about her relationship with Christ. But few people would know she's been a believer for a relatively short amount of time. You listen to her, you think she's known the Lord all of her life. And even fewer people would guess that she's a former atheist. That there was a time in her life when she absolutely didn't even believe God existed. But somebody passed out an invitation. And she received it. And she said, yes. And now her name is written in the book of life. Remember what I said last week about don't be fooled? I saw this past week, I saw a very fascinating but sad documentary. And it's about Katia Conrad Kraft and Maurice Kraft. And they were two French volcanologists. And those are people who study volcanoes. And they were also filmmakers, and there was an incredible amount of footage that they took of their studies of these volcanoes. I mean, absolutely fascinating. You can even see it on Netflix, I think it is. It's called Fire of Love, I think it's called. But I think it's up for an award for the Academy Award. It's up for a nomination for some Academy Award. But it was absolutely fascinating to see their love for volcanoes. They decided to get married and not have kids because they wanted to spend their entire lives studying volcanoes. And when I'm talking about studying volcanoes, I'm not talking about from a distance with a telescope. I mean, they're standing right at the mouth of the volcano with the lava shooting up, and they're standing right there, and they put on these little special suits. First, she's standing there without any suit on at all. And the lava starts to get too close to her, so she goes back casually, puts on her suit, and she's standing there right on the edge of the mouth of the volcano. And I'm like, are you crazy? They're walking on the lava. There's stones in the lava, and they're walking on the hot stones in the middle of the lava. Maurice wanted to actually build a boat and put it in a sea of lava and go sailing down it. He was trying to do, are you mad? It was riveting. But what was so compelling was their passion and their awe. They did it because they were in awe of volcanoes. The power of the volcano was so compelling. She said, curiosity is more powerful than danger. And it was drawing them. The scale of it, the power of it, was just so arresting that they were addicted to it, literally. And I thought that was so amazing. But it was also sad. And what was sad is that it says they were not spiritual people. They were not religious. They did not have a connection with God. And what was sad about that is that they recognized the power of creation, but did not see the power of the Creator. They lost sight of the fact that that thing that they are so drawn to is but a wink from the one who created it. And that that the thing that is inside of you that's making you say, I want more of that, he wants directed to him. And he has that capacity to be that compelling and that powerful. So their lack of faith, even in the face of the awe of his creation, was sad. And then on June 3, 1991, they were killed by a volcano, by an eruption in Japan, when there was an explosion, and they were overtaken by a pyroclastic flow, which is just a big dark cloud of lava and noxious gases, and it can travel up to 100 kilometers an hour, and they couldn't get away. You know, there's no way. I mean, they saw it from a distance, but by the time they saw it, you're dead because you can't escape. And so they passed away. But see, the Lord is the supreme and eternal source of everything good and wonderful. That volcano, he is the supreme and he is the eternal source of everything that's good and wonderful. He is the life from which all of life's joys and wonders emanate. And I just hope that somebody got to them with an invitation before they perished. Someone wrote a sentence, and the last part of it said, "Our Lord is faithful." And I can't even remember the rest of the note. I just remember that last phrase. Our Lord is faithful. This is not somebody who fellowships with us. It's not somebody who is a member of Valley Brook Community Church. I don't even know what church this person belongs to. But I was thinking, so many people have come to know Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our Lord only because of the grace that led each one of us to accept him as our individual Lord, as my Lord. He's our Lord because he's my Lord. And there are others who are joining the kingdom of God every day and saying our Lord as they receive invitations and accept invitations from the Lord's people in various ways. So you've got the Silicon Valley Bank failing. You got the war in Ukraine. You got political upheaval here in the U.S. You've got disastrous weather events worldwide. And right in the chaos of present world conditions, right in the midst of all of it, a divine plan is being executed with perfect precision as God does his work. Jesus is still holding true to his words despite the upheaval on planet Earth. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's building his church through the members of his church, through us, as we pass out invitations, as we are prompted by his Spirit. You know, a number of us have had to deal with the passing of loved ones. I shared with you that Roland lost his brother. They were very close. And it's probably our default position to think that one day, sooner or later, we're all going to have to die. But that's not necessarily so. And that's not necessarily how this life will end for us. Consider these words from 1 Corinthians. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. And when that happens, just like that, we'll be on our way to join the multitudes that we referred to when we read Revelation 5 and the other passages. It's his party, brothers and sisters, and it could begin anytime. It could begin anytime. You think that, okay, well, I got how many more years I got? Let's see. Laverne and I are talking about this, you know, and I said, I can't believe I'm going to be married to a 65-year-old woman. In April. How did I get, what is that? She laughed and she looked at me and said, how old do you think you're going to be, mister? I never said that to you. We're planning for her 65th birthday. We've got plans, big plans. She's so excited about them, she's ready to go today. I was excited about marrying her. I remember saying, Lord, I knew about this verse, about, you know, the rapture could happen. I said, Lord, don't come back till I marry her. Then you can come back. But let us get married first, and then you can come back, you know, a year or two or three or whatever. But we've got all kinds of ideas about our future, and we're thinking about our mortality, and that's good to do. It's wise to consider that, but don't think that's the only way out of this life. Any day, Jesus could come back. Any day. We could leave this place, and in the twinkling of an eye, there he is. You know, it could happen. It's going to happen one day. It is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. In the meantime, he's blessed us to be a part of his family and to work alongside of him and to trust in his Spirit's prompting in us day by day. And to trust that as our relationship with him is developing, that he is doing his work in us and through us. And he wants to pass out invitations to those who are not yet invited to the party or who are not yet said yes, who have not responded with their RSVP. So it's our job to help pass out the invitations. We don't know when it's going to begin. So this week, look for opportunities. Trust him. You may be surprised what he does. I'm done.